Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 13 through the end of the chapter. It says, "On the second day, the family leaders of all the people, along with the priests and Levites, assembled before Ezra the scribe to study the words of the law. They found written in the law how Yahweh had commanded through Moses that the Israelites should dwell in booths during the festival of the seventh month. So they proclaimed and spread this news throughout all their towns and in Jerusalem, saying, 'Go out to the hill country and bring back branches of olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees to make booths, just as it is written.' The people went out, brought back branches, and made booths for themselves on each of their rooftops and courtyards, the court of the house of the Almighty, the square by the water gate, and the square by the gate of Ephraim. The whole community that had returned from exile made booths and lived in them. They had not celebrated like this from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day. And there was tremendous joy. Ezra read out of the book of the law of the Almighty every day, from the first day to the last. The Israelites celebrated the feast for 7 days, and on the eighth day there was an assembly according to the ordinance." Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 13 through 18 is one of my favorite places in the Bible. I say that a lot. Some people say, "Brother Matthew, you have a lot of favorite places in the Bible." And that's true, but that's okay, because I love the Bible as a whole. So this is one of my favorite places. I taught about this on the radio not long ago, and also I've taught my children out of this. I've got a few texts that I would like to read besides this one in this sermon. But I want to title this sermon, "Why Emphasize the Law?" That's kind of twofold. There's two ways that somebody could ask you that question. Somebody could ask it very sarcastically in a derogatory way. They could say, "Why in the world do you waste your time emphasizing the law?" And we need to know how to answer people that speak it like that. But there's also an inquisitive way that people might ask. They might really want to know, "Brother Matthew," or, "Matthew, why do you emphasize the law? Tell me more. Let me learn." I want to try to answer both of those questions in this sermon tonight. And I thought it would be fitting to open up with a passage that's about the feast that we just got through celebrating. The Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Shelters. We can call it all of those. In Hebrew, it's Chag Sukkot. Chag means pilgrim feast. Sukkot is the plural for like temporary dwellings and shelters. In verse 13, we read that all of this took place on the second day. And you can go back to verse 2 in chapter 8, and you'll see that it's the second day of the month that's being talked about, or of the moon. And what had happened here, just to give you a little background, is that the Judahites had been in Babylonian captivity prior to the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah were two men that were the spearhead of restoration and revival within the nation of Judah, coming back from the Babylonian captivity. So you've got to remind yourself that things were not done in the perfect, proper way that they should be done while in Babylon. All right? Now, you can serve Yahweh in Babylon. Daniel did. Daniel stayed most of his whole life in Babylon. And you can serve Yahweh there, but you can't serve Him perfectly in Babylon. All right? And you learn more and more about that when you live in Babylon today. You know, "So thy kingdom come." We talk about that a lot. We need to preach the kingdom, believe in the kingdom. When the kingdom gets here, it'll be a perfect service and worship to Yahweh. It's beautiful. The Feast of Tabernacles this year was beautiful. But imagine how beautiful it will be in a government now that abides by the laws of Yahweh. Not just a congregation, but a government. So these people were coming out of captivity, and that's why later on down in this text, as we read, they had to relearn the Feast of Booths. They had to relearn it. Remember, it says that they had not done so since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun. But they were reading in the Torah, that is the first five books of Moshe, and they found it written. And they didn't complain and say, "Well, you know, we've not done this for so many hundreds of years, so it must not be that important." Is that not what some people tell us today when we tell them we keep the Feast of Booths, and they say, "Well, the church hasn't done this for hundreds, if not thousands of years." But we tell them exactly what Nehemiah chapter 8 says We found it written, though. It doesn't matter who did what or who didn't do what. We found it written. And so therefore, we're going to obey. We're going to be obedient. That's what's taking place here. Ezra the scribe, Ezra was a Levite. He could trace his genealogy back through Zadok all the way to Aaron. And that's very important for you to be a legitimate Aaronic priest. And they assembled to study the words of the law. And verse 14 is what I was talking about. They found written in the law how Yahweh had commanded through Moshe that the Israelites would dwell in booths during the festival of the seventh month or moon. Month is there, the word Chodesh, it means a lunar month. So they began to proclaim it and spread it everywhere. And so the people were so excited, just like we are tonight in our testimonies, and it's beautiful. They're so excited, and they go fetch all these branches, and they make booths, and they make them up on top of their roofs, because at that time, people had flat roofs, you know. It wasn't a steep-pitched roof, you know. You wouldn't want to make a booth on top of your roof now. Amen? Be hard to sleep. Sometimes it's hard to sleep if the ground's uneven, but much more if you're on a roof today. But their roofs were flat, so they made their booths up on top of their roof, out in their courtyards, temporary shelters everywhere. Thousands and thousands of people. And in verse 17 it says, the whole community that had returned from exile made booths and lived in them. And then, as I said, they had not celebrated like this from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day. And there was tremendous joy. It's a joyful time. Verse 18 is the verse I want to center in on, though, and you'll see why as I go to some more texts in the Torah. Verse 18 says, Ezra read out of the book of the law of the Almighty every day. Every day, from the first day to the last day. Then it says the Israelites celebrated the feast for 7 days. As Brother Arnold brought out, it's a 7-day feast. Then on the 8th day, which is the 22nd day of the moon, there was an assembly, a Mikra Kodesh, holy convocation, according to the ordinance. The next year, something that I would like to do, and it sometimes escapes your mind because you've got so much going on, but I believe that next year what we'll do is when we have our daily meetings, congregational meetings, Bible studies, what have you, I'd like to make it a point to read the entire book of Deuteronomy or the entire book of Exodus, probably, preferably Deuteronomy, like Ezra did here. It said he would read out of the book of the law of the Almighty every day. So that, this wasn't just a private reading, this was a public reading. If you read earlier in Nehemiah 8, you see that they taught the people out of the Torah from sunrise all the way till midday. And some people think I'm long-winded. Ezra was really long-winded. More so than Paul. Imagine going for the whole first part of the day till the middle of the day. The sun's directly overhead. They read out of the book of the law so that people could hear, so they could learn, and so they could be obedient. That's the purpose of reading out of the book of the law. And I don't think that we spend enough time reading out of the book of the law. I don't. I've talked with a lot of people in churchianity, and this has not just happened once, so I wonder what preachers are saying to people. They tell people that the first book that they need to read is the book of John. I don't know where they get that at. I have never read a passage that says you should start with the gospel according to John. I love the gospel of John. I think it's a wonderful book. But if I had to guess at where Yahweh wanted you to start reading the Bible, I would guess that it would be in the book of Bereshith, which means in the beginning, Genesis, the origin. That only makes sense. If you buy any other book from the Christian bookstore, or if it's a fiction book, where do you start? You don't open up to chapter 10. You go to chapter 1. You might even read a preface or an introduction before you read the book. And we need to spend more time reading the first 5 books of Prophet Moshe, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, so that we can learn the entirety of the Torah of the Almighty Yahweh. We've got to make a point to do that. Ezra made a point to do that. You've got to remember, all of the Levites, it wasn't like there was a big crowd of Levites came in and they all took turns sacrificing. No. One of the primary jobs for the Levites was the teaching of the Torah. They were scattered throughout all the towns of the Israelites and they taught the people the Torah of Yahweh. Yahweh set it out like that. You can read about it in Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 30, if I'm not mistaken. And also in Leviticus, there's a few passages as well. So only one aspect of their job was sacrificial and ceremonial. Another aspect was to simply be the teachers. And Ezra, a good teacher, Ezra the Levite is a good teacher, so he reads out of the book of the law every day during the Feast of Tabernacles so that people can learn. And I imagine, just like we do here, I imagine that some people would probably raise their hand and say, Ezra, could you explain that for us? Could you interpret that for us? I know that that's what happened because in Nehemiah 8, verse 7 and 8, it mentions all these men who were Levites, and it says they explained the law to the people as they stood in their places. Verse 8, they read the book of the law of the Almighty, translating and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was read. And there's two meanings to that, and I believe that both of them are legitimate. I think not only is it expository teaching, just like I try my best to do, is to read a text of Scripture and then explain it to you in its original context. That doesn't mean I'm always right, but I try to do it that way because that's how the Levites, that's how Ezra would do it. And also a secondary meaning is that a lot of scholars believe that when they came out of Babylonian captivity, their common language then was Aramaic. And although it was similar to Hebrew, it was not Hebrew. And so when Ezra would read in Hebrew, he'd have to translate it into Aramaic so that the people could understand what he was reading. Either way, though, the explanation of the Torah was very important to Ezra the priest. So, why do you emphasize the law? Because Ezra, the priest of Yahweh, emphasized the law. That's number one answer right there. The priest of Yahweh emphasized the law. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Why do you emphasize the law, Matthew? Well, let's read one of the last things that Moshe said to the people of Israel before he died. You could think about a lot of things you'd say on your deathbed. Imagine if your children are standing there in front of you and you know you're about to die. You ain't got much time left. What would you tell them? What would you say to your children? Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. Then Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, saying, I am now 120 years old. I can no longer act as your leader. Yahweh has told me you will not cross this Jordan. Yahweh, your Almighty, is the one who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will drive them out. Joshua is the one, literally Yehoshua, it would be his name, as they would have called him. Yehoshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, as Yahweh has said. Yahweh will deal with them as he did Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and their land when he destroyed them. Yahweh will deliver them over to you, and you must do to them exactly as I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them, for it is Yahweh your Almighty who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Moshe then summoned Yehoshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you will go with this people into the land Yahweh swore to give to their fathers. You will enable them to take possession of it. Yahweh is the one who will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Moshe wrote down this law and gave it to the priests. Let me stop right there for a second. This is why it's called the law of Moshe so many times in the Scriptures. It's not because he made up the law. It's not because he's got a separate law other than Yahweh. Right, Brother Randy? We talked about that a couple weeks ago, Brother Randy and I at work. Some people actually believe that. I can show you some passages that equate Yahweh's law with the law of Moses. The reason it's called the law of Moshe is because what verse 9 says here. Moses wrote down this law, not his own, but the law that Yahweh had given him and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the ark of Yahweh's covenant and to all the elders of Israel. Moshe commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, this is the Shemitah, this is the sabbatical year, Brother Tim was talking about in testimony service not too many services ago, at the appointed time in the year of debt cancellation, so it wasn't only a year where the land laid fallow, but it was also a year, according to Deuteronomy 15, that all debts were canceled. Every 7 years, your debts were canceled. That makes you want to keep the Torah, doesn't it? Amen. Praise Yahweh. Come on, you can say amen to that. It's all right. It's Yahweh's law. If we lived in a government that was sanctioned by the law of Yahweh, your debts will be canceled every 7 years. There's even a law in Deuteronomy 15 that says if your poor brother comes up to you and needs to borrow some money, that you're not to have a greedy eye or an evil eye against him, which means greed. And you're not to say, the seventh year is coming quickly. I don't know if I want to let this brother borrow this money. You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to give it to him freely and then not worry about it. If the Shemitah comes, you don't worry about it. Because that's your brother in Israel. You bless him. See. So this is all when this is happening. And then it says this, during the Festival of Booths. This is what we just celebrated. When all Israel assembles in the presence of Yahweh your Almighty at the place He chooses, you are to read this law. What law? The one that Moses wrote down back in verse 9. You are to read this law aloud before all Israel. Gather the people, men, women, children. Let me stop there. I've got to stop there. Children can understand the Torah. It doesn't matter if they're 4 years old like little David or 14 like Morgan. They are grasping. When they hear us, when they hear Brother Dan read in the Torah, as he's kind of our designated reader and Tim takes his place when he's not here, right? When they hear us read in the Torah, these little children are soaking it in. And that's what they need to hear. Somebody says, oh, they can't understand. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Brother Arnold has teased me before about sometimes I'll try to be explaining things to him and he'll tell me, he'll say, I understand what you're saying, but I've got it in my mind sometimes that you have to slow down with older people in order for them to understand. And so he looks at me like, I understand exactly what you said. My grandfather came to the feast a few days ago and I was explaining something to somebody else and he was sitting there listening. And I turned right around and explained it to him again. And when I got through explaining it to my granddaddy, you know what he said? He said, I heard you the first time. I like to die. And I thought to myself, you know what, Brother Matthew? You got to get out of this habit of thinking that people don't understand what you're saying. And children understand. Brothers and sisters, this is why it's so important for you to have family worship with your children. The worship that your children have to Yahweh shouldn't only be on Sabbath, new moons, and set feasts. Every day, and I don't always do it every day. Sometimes I miss it. But you should do it every day. You should take time out, if it's not but just for 30 minutes, and you teach your children the Torah. I've got curriculum, if you're interested in it. I've got curriculum at my house that you can use. I didn't write it, but it's good. It just categorizes all of the Torah. And they understand. My little David, he can say the first five books of Moshe in Hebrew. Why? Not because I necessarily was even teaching it to him. I'll tell you how it happened. Whenever we do family worship, me and my children, we cite the Ten Commandments from Exodus 21 through 17 verbatim. We learned it out of the HCSB. We cite that. Then I ask them questions. I catechize them. I have questions. Children, what is sin? They say, Dad, sin is the transgression of Yahweh's law. I say, children, what does repentance mean? They say in unison, to change your direction. Children, you know, who is Yeshua? They say, the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh. That's called catechizing your children. It causes them to remember it in their brain. And then they grow up with it for the rest of their life. And then one of the things that we would do is say the first five books of Scripture in Hebrew, Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim. And then all of a sudden one day, Davy starts saying it himself. He can say it and he puts his thumb, Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim. Morgan said, listen to him, Dad. How did he learn it? He sat there with us during family worship. He was only 2 years old the first time that he uttered those words in Hebrew. I wasn't looking at him when I was teaching my children. And Yahweh probably was disciplining me and showing me, David is listening too. I would concentrate on the older children, but David was listening and learned those books in Hebrew without even me having knowledge of it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. Do you believe that? Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says, you are to diligently teach your children the commandments. Not half-heartedly, not whenever you feel like it, but you teach them every day out of the Torah. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12 says, the children are to be there. Moshe says, on his dying bed, you gather the men and the women and don't send the children out. You keep the children there and you read the law aloud to them. They listen too. Verse 12 again, gather the people, men, women, children, and foreigners living within your gates, so that they may listen, this is why, and learn to fear Yahweh your Almighty and be careful to follow all the words of this law. Then their children, who do not know the law, will listen and learn to fear Yahweh your Almighty as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Later on down the line, a couple of chapters later, probably the same day Moses dies, the words of his deathbed was this: you read the law to your children, to your wives. You read the law, you read it out loud. Specifically in this text, it's talking about on the Shemitah at the Feast of Tabernacles, the year of the debt cancellation. Why do we emphasize the law? Moshe, on his dying bed, said, don't forget. Don't forget this. Be careful. Teach it to your children. Then they'll teach it to their children. And then they'll teach it to their children. But you know what? The opposite is true as well. You don't teach it to your children, and they won't teach it to their children. And they won't teach it to their children. What does the second commandment say at the end? He punishes the children for the father's sins to the third and the fourth generations of those that hate him. But he shows faithful love in the thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. Don't expect your children to grow up and be keepers of the Torah if you do not teach them the Torah every day. I'm talking specifically to the men here. Men, priests of our home, you rise up. I'm talking to myself. You've got to teach the Torah to your family. You've got to emphasize the law. One of the last things Moses said before he died, you make sure you read it out loud at the Feast of Booths. One more passage, Joshua chapter 1. Now you remember in Deuteronomy 31, Moshe said Yehoshua was going to take over. He was going to take over. Yahweh wasn't going to allow prophet Moshe to enter into the land. And the reason he wasn't is because there was one instance where he disobeyed Yahweh. So he said, you look and you'll see it, but you won't be able to cross over the Jordan River and enter the land that I promised to your fathers. But Yehoshua was going to take over. And in chapter 1 of this book, it says this. Verse 1. After the death of Moshe, Yahweh's servant, Yahweh spoke to Yehoshua, son of Nun, who had served Moshe. Moshe, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moshe. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you, just as I was with Moshe. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to the fathers to give them as an inheritance. Verse 7. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moshe commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. People say, Matthew, you talk too much about it. Yehoshua says, it's not supposed to depart from your mouth. It's not to leave these lips. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that dwelleth upon it day and night. He's like the tree that's planted by the rivers of the water that is a very fruitful tree. We saw this on the Back to Eden film about the fruitfulness of the trees that are by the waters. Do not let it depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night. Sometimes I wake up with it on my mind. Sometimes I don't. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes I wake up and I'm troubled and I have anxiety and I'm disturbed and I'm not having faith in Yahweh. But sometimes I wake up with the law of Yahweh on my mind, Brother Jerry. Sometimes I wake up and I can't go back to sleep because I think about a passage in the Torah and I feel like Yahweh's trying to reveal something to me in my dream and also in the nighttime. And I think better early in the morning, about between probably 3 to 6 o'clock. I think real clearly. Maybe that's not the case with you. But that's when Yahweh shows me most of what I receive. Early in the morning while the house is quiet, my mind's fresh, I've just got a good night's sleep. Recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. Carefully observe. Carefully. Are you careful to observe His Torah? Are you? It's okay to nitpick when it comes to His Torah. Brother Arnold says if you see a nit on somebody, then you need to pick it off. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. loving your brother as you love yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. We got a lot of people trying to teach us how to prosper nowadays, don't we? A lot of people having self-help seminars. You know, do this. This is a 10-step plan and you'll prosper. Yahweh's already given us the prospering plan. Yahweh's already told us this is what you need to do if you want to succeed in life. You carefully observe my Torah and I'll take care of you. I'll make sure your children are well. I'll make sure they're fed. I'll make sure they find good spouses. Amen. You keep my Torah. Hallelujah. I'll make sure that I supply all your needs. Sometimes we read that as wants, but He promises to supply all of our needs. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll prosper when we keep His Torah. That doesn't mean we're not going to have valleys. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers them out of them all. Doesn't mean we're not going to have valleys, but it means that He's always going to be with us, and we can say like Job, you give, you take away. I bless your name. I don't charge you foolishly. I bless your name. All of this, though, has to do with the law. So why do we emphasize the law? Not only did Ezra the scribe, the pure Levite scribe from the line of Zadok, read out of the law every tabernacles. Not only did Moshe on his dying deathbed say, you need to read it aloud to the men, women, and children. But also here Joshua, before they go into the land, one of the things he tells them is this, be courageous. Look at verse 7 again. Above all, be strong and very courageous to do what? To carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moshe commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. So you've got to be strong and courageous to observe the law. Why emphasize the law? Yehoshua says before he goes into the land, if you're going to take over the land, like Yahweh promised you, you're going to have to be obedient to the Torah. This is why, brothers and sisters, this is why we emphasize the law. This is why I emphasize it in my teachings. It's because the Bible does it. As I preached last week, we might seem strange, but it's in the Bible. We might seem strange when we emphasize the law. And if you know me, if you know me well and you listen to my sermons, you know I believe in grace. It's grace that Yahweh gives us because we've broken His law. That right there shows you how holy His law is. The death of our Messiah on the torture stake shows you the holiness of the Father's law. Look what our Messiah had to go through because we violated the law of Yahweh. And after His death, burial, and resurrection, we should not go back out and do the exact same things that put Him upon the torture stake to start with. We've got to be, above all, strong, courageous, to be careful to observe this law. Read it out loud. You want to make a commitment to Yahweh? You begin to read out loud to your family. Pick some time aside. Pick a chapter. Do a chapter at a time. Read it out loud. As the leader in the home, the priest of the home, fathers, explain it the best that you know how. Answer your children's questions, your wife's questions, the best you know how. Yahweh will continue to lead you and guide you in all truth. You'll become more knowledgeable about His law. But I can guarantee you this, if you don't read it, you won't become more knowledgeable in it. You won't. You know, somebody's going to ask you a question one day and you're going to be a workman that needs to be ashamed instead of a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know what that word means, ashamed? It means to blush. Over there in 2 Timothy. In other words, somebody asks you a question and you don't know it, so you're embarrassed. You should have known it though. Why? Because if you're a man of Israel, you're a leader amongst the people of Israel. I'm thankful for Yahweh's law. I'm thankful for His instructions. And I think that if, I don't think, I know. I know. I know that if Moshe and Yehoshua and Ezra were sitting here, right here in these three seats, they would say, Amen, Amen, Amen. That's exactly right. You emphasize, you continue to emphasize the law. Praise Yahweh. Why do we do it? We just covered three scriptures and there's many more. But we've covered three tonight as to why we should emphasize the keeping of the Torah and read it aloud to the people of Israel. Amen. Let's stand. Closing a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love and thank You and praise You. You're wonderful to us. We do not deserve, Father Yahweh, we don't deserve what You give us. That's why it's called grace and mercy, because we don't deserve it. Father, thank You for having mercy upon us. Help me, Yahweh. Help me in the areas I struggle with in Your Torah, and help each and every man, woman, and child here today in the areas they struggle with in Your Torah. Help us to be better keepers of the law. Help us to never think that we're doing wrong by emphasizing the law. Let us remember the words of Ezra, of Moshe, and also of Yehoshua. I love You, Yahweh. And I want to give honor and praise to your son as well, Yeshua the Messiah, because he was the best Torah teacher ever to live. And not only did he teach it, but he never, not one time, disobeyed it. And I'm so thankful that you sent him to be the substitute sacrifice for my shortcomings, my wrongdoings against your Torah. Thank you, Yahweh. Through your son, Yeshua the Messiah, we pray. Amen.